This is the 436th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC, and I'm here at MetLife Stadium where the Falcons prevailed 13-8 over the New York Jets in a game that was marred by the weather conditions, lot of sloppy play, but the Falcons were able to pull it out for a victory over the Jets. One touchdown, they held teams without a touchdown for the second game in a row to improve to 6-6 on the season and open up a full game lead over the New Orleans Saints in the NFC South. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, let's get right to it. We're going to hear from Falcons coach Arthur Smith, quarterback Desmond Ridder, defensive end Calais Campbell, outside linebacker Arnold Ebiketie. Then we're going to go and Bud Dupree. We're going to take a break and we'll come back with our notes. And then we're going to go to our Twitter mailbag where a lot of you all had some responses to this game here today. 13-8, Atlanta Falcons victory. Here's Falcons coach Arthur Smith on staying in first place in the NFC South.
Well, you know, the biggest thing is we got to focus on ourselves. You know, it's the way it goes, right? You guys have covered this league a long time. You got to find a way to win. You're in a playoff chase. You're trying to win a division. Sometimes, you know, the game get ugly in the elements and whatever happens, turn on, you adjust. And at the end of the day, you just got to find a way to win. And we'll go back to work, led, and we'll focus on us. We got to correct things that didn't work this week that may have worked a week ago or whatever. And that's why we get, you know, that's why we practice, and we're thankful to get that one.
Yeah, the thing that worked last week was a running game. The Jets, we told you they had a good defense, even though their numbers suggested otherwise on the rushing part. But they came up and held the Falcons to 90 yards on 34 carries for 2.6 average. And Desmond Ridder is saying, hey, you know, if we're going to, we got to throw the ball down the field. We have to be able to run the football. And they weren't able to do that today for any sustained period of time. But here is Arthur Smith on if his style fits today's elements.
We thought so, but we knew they were going to throw everything they could at us. And, you know, when they had turned the ball over, that was the biggest thing, is the game became a field position game. And obviously we were trying, you know, to find balance of backing them off, but not being reckless because of the way the defense was playing. Sometimes maybe people think you're too conservative, but all you care about is winning that game. And those guys, I mean, the energy was great. We came up here, so we're going to have to bring our own energy. Those guys on the sideline were fantastic, and they found a way.
Yep, the Falcons found a way to win. You know, not a lot of points up. Got a field goal in the second half. That's all they needed. And got out of here as both teams just scored the field goals in the second half. It was 10-5 at halftime. Ridder had a nice touchdown pass to McCole Pruitt, but that was it as far as getting into the end zone today. Here is Coach Arthur Smith on the defense with no touchdowns for the second game in a row.
That's just why you continue to work. And there's some things schematically we did today. It's changes week to week, whatever our third down plan is, who you're trying to take away, where you're giving help to. you know, mixing and matching. So a lot of it's being in tune. Like they made some plays, like they hit a flea flicker and just blowing up and making them kick field goals. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, every once in a while, it is the NFL. People are going to make plays, but don't give up. You know, make those and turn those into disasters and let them get momentum. And that's a credit. It's a mindset, but a lot of things we've been trying to work on week to week, certainly coming out of the bye. And we'll continue to try to do that.
Well, yeah, no question about it. One of the notes here today is that the quarterback Desmond Ridder did not have any turnovers on the official stat sheet. There was an interception that was wiped away by a penalty. There were some fumbles, but all of the fumbles were recovered by the Falcons. He recovered a fumble on the first play of the game on a bad center exchange with Drew Dahlman. But officially, no turnovers for Desmond Ridder today. And here's Arthur Smith on the no turnover game.
That's what I talk about the other side has to say. We want to score 100 points, trust me. That's our intent. But the reality of the NFL sometimes, they put a lot of capital up front, draft, everything. They got good players up front. And, you know, this is one of Matt Bergeron's biggest challenges. You walk up and say, hey, you got Quinnen Williams this week. I mean, that's the NFL, right? And Caleb goes out, Storm goes in there. So if you want to maybe change some of your protections, not leave him, because they're going to try to adjust over there. So that's the game you're playing, play to play in series to series. Yeah, it's aggressive front, two styles, aggressive styles, and thankfully we did enough to win.
All right, that's Arthur Smith on doing enough to win here in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at MetLife Stadium, where the Falcons prevailed 13-8. Here is quarterback Desmond Ridder answering some of my questions after the game.
Des, could you describe how tough it was out there for the offense today in the rain?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we were prepared all week for a rain game. Obviously, starting off first play, you know, he got narrowed down to me and Drew, but, you know, that's all on me. Got to be able to get the ball out, got a big play there. But, you know, there was times later on in the game where, you know, CP had one where he put it on the ground, but he did a great job of batting it out of bounds. But just, you know, all of us got to be better in ball security. We know it's going to be a crappy day when weather comes. But, you know, we got to be able to push the ball down the field. We got to be able to run the ball. We got to be able to get first downs. And we got to be able to get points.
The draft starts, you get a couple good ones late in the first half and get a touchdown and a field goal out of it. But how tough is it when you know, don't get the draft start, good field position in start the drive?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously tough. You obviously want to have a positive play on that first play just to get the drive going and then see that first down. You know, we talked about momentum all year. We talked about how to get the offense going, and that's what it is. It's staying in a rhythm and staying in the motion, which that's getting positive plays, first downs, first play, positive yards. It's just getting positive yards at the end of the day.
Coach said the offense, the defense was trying to take away Drake. Did that open up Kyle for you more today?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, we always have weapons all over the field, so you can't just hone in on one guy or else someone else is going to become open.
And the touchdown pass to McCole Pruitt, what was going on that play? And did you get a chance to see the catch yet?
Yeah, I mean, they ended up being in the cover three almost in matches. You know, they carried that seam with Pruitt. You know, it was going to go to Kyle, but Kyle had his guy way off and soft. And I saw Pruitt had kind of had a step on three. And so I just gave him a ball to go get. You know, like we say all the time, you know, you can find 85 and he'll do well for you.
Overall, the production was 194. I know it was sloppy out there, but did y'all miss some stuff? Or how do you feel, you know, that, you know, how you feel about the production when they're able to?
Yeah, like I said, there's a couple ball placement things from my end that, you know, could have been better. You know, the one late there to Kyle, left it a little inside. You put it outside, he goes and get it. You put the little one to Drake on their sideline, a little bit more inside. He's able to toe touch and get it. And then, you know, obviously in the run game, we just got to be able to get things going and get first downs, like I said, right there towards the end. If we're going to keep the ball on the ground, we got to be able to move it, got to be able to get those first downs, keep the clock running, and then, you know, we'll be able to be good with everything. But, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, we came out here with a win, with a great team win, and we're going to go back to work and just keep continuing to get better.
Did you sense they sold out to stop the run after last week?
I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously after last week, if you're a defensive coordinator and you're not trying to stop the run after last week, then, you know, probably got something going on. But no, obviously they did a great job of filling the box up, stopping the run. But again, we have to adjust for, you know, that extra hitter and be able to make that one guy miss.
All right. That was Desmond Ridder covering a lot of ground there. You know, they did sell out against the run, but, you know, teams are going to do that, and they're going to have to hit pass plays here down the stretch. Here is defensive end Calais Campbell. You know, they have been playing a lot of 3-3-5 nickel. The players want to go 4-2-5. So that's one of the adjustments they made. Four down linemen rushing a little bit more on passing downs. Here is Calais Campbell.
Well, I think another thing that I really enjoy, you know, is, you know, we have four guys down on passing downs, and getting more D-linemen on the field, which I think is really beneficial too. But I think, we're good enough to have, you know, a variety of different ways to do things, you know, but that's something we definitely asked for, you know, Coach gave to us. But there's going to be times where we'll have to go three-man down just because of the situation and stuff like that too. So, you know, and that's football. But, you know, that's something that I think, you know, was fun to be a part of.
How's Arnold playing? He had another sack and a key situation this week.
Yeah, you know, I tease him a lot and kind of ride him a lot. You know, but he's so gifted. You know, he's just scratching the surface of how talented he can be. But he definitely has that knack for making plays in big moments. You know, I feel like, you know, when his best is required, that's when he's at his best. You know, now I got to figure out how to, you know, we got to figure out, he has to figure out how to be that guy all the time. And he will as he gets older. But, you know, it's great to see in the biggest moments he's at his best.
Yep, that's Calais Campbell. Now, if Arnold Ebiketie can get hot here down the stretch, he's got 5.5 sacks. Maybe he can make it to double-digit sacks. It'd be the first one Falcons since, I want to say, Vic Beasley in 16. But Bud Dupree is also moving along. He's got five. But that was a big sack on the last possession because they got Trevor Siemian in there. They're trying to hit Garrett Wilson on a double move. They got to score. You know, it's 13-8 game. You get a lucky touchdown, deep shot play. They should have threw it down the field, trying to get DPI or something. But they were just trying to get a play, and Ebiketie wouldn't let them get one on 3rd and 10. Then on 4th down, they had an incompletion, and that effectively ended the game. So here is our talk with Arnold Ebiketie. There's a story online about him at crunch time. And here's what Arnold had to say about his play today against the Jets.
How'd you feel to get that big sack again today?
Feel good. You know, every time you get a chance to go out there and do your job, it always feels good.
Yeah, the big man said, how are you getting comfortable with that? He thinks you could do it more.
Yeah, you know, it just all comes down to getting comfortable within the defense. You know, just every time you go out there, especially on crunch time, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there, rush the pass, and kind of work your best move. And, you know.
What does it mean for a defense to not give up another touchdown second game in a row? Second half, y'all had to get the fumble, had to stop them late.
Yeah.
How does that feel for
you? It was huge. We know that's the kind of defense we can be, we're capable of being. So just the goal is to be more consistent, kind of do those things consistently moving forward. Just being us, really what it comes down to.
How much room is it left for y'all to, you know, try to continue to get better? Y'all just talk about getting better each week and all that.
A lot. I think we still have a lot of room to get better in terms of what we can be as a unit defensively. We have potential to be one of the best defenses in the National Football League. So things just really comes down to detail.
That was pretty big. He said they have the potential to be one of the best defenses in the NFL. And, you know, they're going to need that here to wrap up the NFC South. And then if they go to playoffs, you know, Seattle and Dallas look like potential, you know, candidates, and we saw that game the other day, Thursday night. That was a heck of a playoff game. That looked like a couple weight classes up from where the Falcons have been playing. But hey, you know, let's not put the old horse before the cart here yet. Yeah, they're 6-6 with 5 to go. Here's Bud Dupree discussing the defense and his play. He missed a couple sacks here at Arizona and Minnesota. But today he was able to get him a couple, and so he discussed that, his play, and discussing Arnold Ebiketie and his potential moving forward.
Man, that's just who he is as a player. He's a new little guy, man. You know, he's one of those guys, you know, he's quick, agile. No, he's going to be – it's a big upside for him coming on. Young guy. A whole lot of love growing, and a whole upside for him. I'm excited to see the future for him and what it holds, you know, for the long run. You know, this is only his second year. So man, it's gonna be a long haul for him.
What does that mean for defense to keep them out of the end zone, second game in a row with no touchdowns?
Man, it's a lot. It means a lot. You know, like I said, hats off to Ryan. You know, he's dialing up, making sure that we're in the right situation, right places at the right time, and we just got to make the plays. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always doing the best he can, and that's awesome for him.
What y'all make of the switch at quarterback with him coming to the veteran, Trevor?
You know, they needed a new spark, man, and they thought he was going to give it to him, man. Man, Trevor's been in the league for a while, so you know he can do stuff. He did make a couple plays, so you know, just we made more on our side, and we got to continue to work hard for that. And I'm glad we put a cap on what we could.
All right, that was Bud Dupree. Going to take a break here. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, an air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. And before we get moving, I want to share a special offer with you. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. Again, that's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, we're back. We're going to go over some of the player notes here. Coming out of the game, running back Bijan Robinson had 79 total yards from scrimmage, 53 rushing, and 26 receiving. Robinson became the second player in franchise history to record 1,000 yards from scrimmage in his first 12 games, tying William Andrews as the fastest player in franchise history to accomplish that feat. He also passed Andrews 1,004 yards for the most yards from scrimmage through a player's first 12 career games in franchise history with 1,022. Kyle Pitts had 4 receptions for 51 yards, marking the 5th game this season. He's had at least 4 catches. Mecole Pruitt caught the 20-yard touchdown in the second quarter. That's his first of the season, 12th of his career. And Jake Matthews set the franchise record for consecutive games played in franchise history with 156, surpassing Falcons Ring of Honor member Jeff Van Note at 155. Safety Jesse Bates finished with 5 tackles. He had 7 tackles, 5 solo, 1 pass defense, and 1 interception, his 5th of the season, and that set a career high for him in one season. He had 4 last year with the Bengals. All right, Bates is the first Falcon to record an interception in back-to-back games since Foyer Ulukon in Week 16 and 17 of the 2021 season. He is the first Falcon since 2000 to record 5 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles in a season. He was also the first player in the NFL this season to reach those marks and only 1 of 8 in the NFL since 2010. And those marks are 5 interceptions with 3 forced fumbles. Some more player notes. Bud Dupree finished with the season best 7 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 quarterback hits, 2 sacks, bringing his total to 5 sacks on the season. And a career total of 51.5 sacks, and one forced fumble. Sunday marked Dupree's fourth career multi-sack game. Cornerback D. Alford had six tackles, a fumble recovery, the first of his career. That was on the Dalvin Cook play. He also recovered one of his own fumbles on a muff punt. Linebacker Nate Landman had five tackles, left the game with a left knee injury, did not return. We'll know more tomorrow on the MRI for Landman and Caleb McGarry, who also left the game with a knee injury. And see, A.J. Terrell left the game. He's in a concussion protocol. Saw him after the game. Dressed and ready to go to the bus, looked coherent, but, you know, once you're in the protocol, the league takes over from there. And Clark Phillips, who came on in his place, he finished with a career-high four solo tackles, and the Jets quarterbacks weren't able to test the rookie out over there. So that was Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian. Richie Grant came in and had a big play today. He had two tackles and one forced fumble. First of the season, that was on the major review play that stopped another Jets drive. Andre Smith recorded his first career fumble recovery. He recovered it off of the Richie Grant hit. They had rooted an incomplete pass. After review, it was determined to be a fumble and stopped one of the Jets' late drives also. So that was another key stop. And we talked about Arno Ebiketie. Let's just go over his stats here. He recorded a strip sack on third down of the final drive of the game, forcing the Jets into a 4th-and-17 on the New York, which New York did not convert. Ebiketie recorded a sack in back-to-back game for the second time this season, week 8 and 9. It also marked his 4th sack in 5 games. Like I said, if he gets hot, he'd come down and stretch here and help this defense out a great deal. Let's look at the special teamers. The main guy today was Bradley Pinion. He punted 9 times for 433 yards, 48.1 gross, including a long of 59, and he placed 4 punts inside the 20. And 2 punts inside the 10. So I heard him and special teams coordinator Marquise Williams discussing how much money they owe to one of the charities there. I think he pays for inside the 20s and probably definitely for inside the 10 punts. Now, Younghoe Koo made 2 of 2 field goals and 1 extra point for 7 points. Koo tied Mick Luckhurst for 3rd on the Falcons' career points scored with 558. He only trails Matt Bryant and Morton Anderson. Matt Bryant is the leader at 1,163 points and Morton Anderson at 806. All right, so before we get out of here, we asked you all right after the game this week what y'all thought about the victory. Falcons are 13-8. It wasn't an artistic gem, but hey, you take the wins in the NFL when you get them. You win and keep on playing there. So we got phenomenal feedback from you all. Thanks for responding. Got 94 comments, 16 retweets, 75 hearts. So that's big time. And we're moving on down the road here with 5 games to go. Tampa Bay coming into town on Sunday. Here is what Dr. Al Montgomery had to say. Arthur Smith still does not know how to scheme his offensive talent or adjust to the environments as they present. Run games should have been featured against a team that is horrible against the run. Tyler Patterson, Bijan mixed with play action. Okay, they 24-for-90. They tried to do that. The Jets stopped it there. No fair weather fan. The Jets are just that bad. No rose colored glasses here. Our D look good. Sounds like a Jets fan, but it was against that awful offense. Our offense couldn't. No, that's a Falcon fan. Our offense couldn't score, two TDs, a 500 record. You think as a longtime fan, I'd be happy about being in first place? But nah, instead, it's kind of pathetic. All right, Donnell Suggs. He's a journalist too, big time Falcon fan. Here's what he had to say. Tough win on the road. Two, Ritter handled himself like a pro. Three, Falcons still don't have a primary trustworthy receiver. All right, Erica, Sky Babe 37. She's a regular. Defense saves the day again. Yay. And awful Smith, a terrible OC. Yeah, she's not a fan of the coach. ATL Rick James. I'm happy, man. Good overall game. South Wired, I should have took the under. I don't know what the over-under was, but he should. He said he should have took it. All right, Nick, 6-5. Hey, a win is a win. Ugly game, but I'm just blaming the weather on and injuries. Let's get Nate and AJ back, and we move. And we move. Okay, yeah, Nate, Nate might not be coming back. We'll find out. If we can get Ryan, or G-Thing, if we can get Ryan to come out of the country club, we'd be formidable. Currently, our defense must score 10 per week. They talk about Matty Ice. We need to check on that because all the quarterback openings that were going to be had are probably, you know, been had. I don't know if he could he's going to retire and retroactively submit his paperwork. We've got to get the 5 years started on this Hall of Fame deal. So we'll check in with CBS people here and see where he's at on. Because he said he wanted to keep it open. It's been open. And, I mean, Cleveland played with Joe Flacco today. So I'm kind of thinking if I'm Matt Ryan, it's like, hey, it's probably not happening. And if it did at this point, you know, you're probably okay with being an announcer. But we'll find out. All right. Happy thing from Pauline. Happy things seem to be turning around for our team. She's got a graphic with the final score. And a picture of Desmond Ridder. Jason, win is a win. Michael, I will take an ugly win over a pretty loss. And James Hallams, I wonder if he's related to DeMarco. We're in the driver's seat of the division. Hopefully AS doesn't mess it up by doing too much. Well, that's probably not a relative. Okay, ATL Sports, just a couple more here. I think my under hit. Yeah, I think it did. Also, this team is not fun to watch. We don't do anything well on offense. Scott Pitcher, kudos to the true fans who sat through that. Yeah, the Jet fans stayed. And then Fear the Skirt, last one. Ugly game, but a W. Ugly game, but a W. So, hey, let's get on out of here. We covered a... We heard from all the key Falcons today on this one. 13-8 at MetLife Stadium. First place, 6-6. Saints lost to the Lions. Carolina and Tampa Bay are waging war as we speak right now. You can get your update on that. They can't catch the Falcons, so that game's irrelevant. I know the Falcons were leaning on hoping that Carolina, playing under their new interim coach, Chris Tabor, to pull off a shocker down there against Tampa Bay, but we'll just see how that goes. And if not, Tampa Bay will come to town on Sunday for a game at 1 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to try to challenge the first-place Falcons here, who are on a roll now. They've won two in a row after their three-game losing streak. Two in a row for the second time this season. They're back at 500. Can the team take off? Can they fix some of their issues? You see the pass rush perking up. That's very promising. Can rookie Clark Phillips hold up against a veteran quarterback like Baker Mayfield who will know how to go after him if AJ can't make it back? Can Andre Smith get in there at linebacker with Caden Ellis if Nate Landman is down? They signed a practice squad linebacker last week, so that could be – Very important on the defensive side of the ball. Now, can you get the running game going? You're going to see Tampa sit in the box just like New York did today. But you got to crease them some kind of way and get after them to open up your throws in the passing game. That's according to Desmond. So, you know, moving forward, those are some of the issues. Your punting game's good. Your kicker's good. Got to get the offense cranked up. And the defense got to continue to ramp things up, especially in the sack game and in the pass rush game, which is trending in the right direction. So with that, we're going to get out of here from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, where the Falcons prevailed 13-8 over the New York Jets to open up some room in the NFC South, just a little bit of room with a full one-game lead with 5 games to go. You all take care and have a great week.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.